Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Welcome, my friends, to episode number 158 of the Metal Geeks podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek, along with...
Brutal Dave.
And George motherfucking Tripsis.
And...
Sean the Metal Pigeon.
What's up, man? How are you?
Pretty good.
This is an all-star jam session, as they say. This
all-star is like, jam session.
Yeah, this is like the metal supergroup we got going on here.
Wow.
That's right.
Okay.
We're like Bloodbath.
Of metal podcasts.
Of metal podcasts. Of our own.
Or
of our own people.
Specifically,
what's that
our
other
own
band
podcast
with Vinnie Paul before he died that he did with the
Hell
dude
yeah
from Mudvayne? There you go. Hell yeah. More like Hell Yeah.
I met one of the dudes from Hell Yeah when I was in Vegas. He was in that show we went and saw.
You told us about that.
Yeah, and I actually. He was really nice, but
Did you tell him you didn't like his music?
I did not tell him that. We talked about Vinnie Paul. We said we were sorry for his loss, and we talked about Vinnie Paul for a few minutes.
And then he said, I hate your music.
I didn't have to say it. You can see it in my eyes.
Oh, man.
So how's everybody doing?
Good. And yourself?
Good. Everybody having a good holiday so far?
Hasn't started yet.
It sort of has.
Got 3 days left before Christmas time.
That's true.
Is it only three? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Sort of. It's Tuesday next week.
Yeah. Today, the 21st.
No.
Today it's 19th.
19th. Well, I got a few.
Don't rush me yet.
Yeah. I thought it was the 21st.
You get all your holiday shopping done?
Just about.
Y'all going out of town soon, right?
Yeah, we're going to San Francisco the day after Christmas.
Oh, very cool.
What
are you going to be doing there?
Touristy things and...
You know where you should go? You should go to the Walt Disney Museum.
Yeah, that's on our agenda.
Very cool. I've always wanted to go there.
Yeah, it's the Walt Disney Family Museum is what it's called.
Right.
The Walt Disney train, the original, is there.
Oh, that's cool.
The train, which was the inspiration for Toys and Tots, which Disney created the logo for.
Toys and Tots?
Mm-hmm.
Toys
for Tots.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
Oh.
I learned that in a Disney store.
I did not know that. You out-Disneyed me today, sir. Kudos.
Yeah.
Good on you.
Is that actually in San Francisco itself?
Yes.
Wow.
It's like a giant red building.
Okay.
Yeah.
It looks fun. Not seen it on the inside. I don't know what's in
there. Does Sony still have their kind of PlayStation-related, not weird museum-type place? You can go and play like all sorts of stuff there.
In San Francisco?
Yeah, it was there for a while. I don't know if it still exists, but it was like a open Sony-type
I know PlayStation has headquarters in San Francisco.
It might have been that. Yeah.
I don't know anything about Sony though.
I've been to San Francisco.
Which is owned by.
I was there once when I was, I think 13 or 14. The only thing I really remember was going to Fisherman's Wharf and finding some.
We're staying right on the wharf.
Are you really?
Yeah,
nice.
That's cool. That's
go awesome. And get that the fish and chips in the newspaper. Freaking awesome.
They actually have that there at the
in
Seattle.
Yeah. My relatives live over in that area. So
you should go to Amoeba Music, too. There's one up
Amoeba
there.
Amoeba Music is great.
You've never been to Amoeba? There's one in L.A., but there's one up there
in San
Francisco.
Didn't they close it?
No.
In San Francisco?
I don't know.
I hope not.
It's huge. Imagine like the size of Fry's, but
it's on
only
Hyde
like
Street.
Media.
Yeah, so the height of our itinerary that we made so far is the Walt Disney Museum and Endor. Or the shooting location for Endor, rather.
No, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Which is the Muir Woods, really.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I hope that music is still there, because right next to it, there's a pizza place. It's been there for a long time, and I remember sitting there, and there was a picture of Metallica from, like, 87 on the wall, and it was signed by all the guys in 87.
Cool. Do you know what area it's in San Francisco?
It's Haight-Ashbury is where it's on Haight Street itself, the Amoeba Music. Mm. And I'm not sure what part. I don't know. It's you'll
Amoeba's
find
pretty
it.
Amazing, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was great.
It's a fucking mecca.
All right.
Cool.
Yep.
Cool. I'll check it out.
I mean, not only music, but their movie department. It's you'll find anything rare you've ever been looking for.
Okay.
For real.
Cool.
I know that's what
I'm
you're
there
into.
For about 10 days. So
10 days.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's plenty of time.
I'm taking a vacay, man.
Good for you.
Yeah. And then we're going to go to Alcatraz And then,
but are you getting off?
Maybe.
Okay.
I might just stay
there. We don't know.
Forever.
If we don't hear from George again, we know where he's going
to
be.
I'm hanging out in Alcatraz with the rest of the ghosts.
Alcatraz is cool. My favorite thing to do there is just to go not only on the Golden Gate Bridge, but there's that Spanish former military fort, like the Presidio.
Yeah.
I just like walking around on that thing and just kind of like taking in the view and the epicness.
That's on the other side of the Golden Gate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool.
I need to go back now. You're making me want to go. It was like when I was 13.
Go to Ghirardelli, get some chocolate.
Yeah, it's right off the wharf, so it's hard to miss.
Also, and also near that same area is, in fact, I think when you go to get like fish and chips, it's like always stationed like right in front of this restaurant called Aloitos.
Aloitos.
Yeah.
Okay.
If it's still there, they make this amazing clam chowder in a bread bowl.
So last time I went there, which was about...
I like clam chowder. Yeah, I like it too.
I want to say about 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
We went to this place. I can't have clam chowder because I'm allergic.
Oh.
But I had a different kind of soup. I think it was a broccoli and cheese in their sourdough bread bowl. And this is one place that makes, like, they're famous for their sourdough or whatever. It's like right in the middle of the wharf. It's a glass bakery. It's pretty cool. I'm looking forward to try that out again.
Well, welcome back to Traveling with the Metal Geeks.
Yeah.
It's metal travel.
Metal travel.
So what thinking about taking a train out to the wine country.
Should.
Yeah.
Yeah, plenty of time. I think, I mean, that's going to be fun.
Yeah. That's what we're hoping to do.
You going to bring the dog?
No. No. He's staying here.
Good.
I did that once. Don't need to do it again.
We're thinking about taking a trip next year.
Yeah, you should.
Well, number one, we're planning to go on a cruise, but which is because it's our 20th anniversary. But
going to do 20 cruises.
We're going to do one cruise for every year. Can't do that shit. You get bored. Okay, I want to be home.
This is like, I've seen enough of the ocean.
But we are looking at the end of May to go to California.
Cool.
Not San Francisco, but we might be going to Anaheim.
Nice.
Planning the certain band playing in Anaheim around that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking
about. Yeah, Avantasia.
Avantasia. So it was my wife's idea to say, hey, Avantasia's playing in Anaheim. You want to go there? Then maybe go to Disneyland for a couple days.
When is this?
Into May.
And then how hard did she twist your arm?
Not very hard at all.
Okay.
He's like, it's a date.
She didn't even finish the full sentence. I was like, yep, okay.
So next tickets May, that means that will be the first opening of Star Wars Land.
I don't know when that's opening.
I believe it's next May.
I don't want to be around. Ooh,
if you could time that out to go see that.
I don't want to wait in 10-hour lines.
Insane. Well, it's for what I understand.
Not when it opens.
No.
I want to wait a year and then go see.
Not even a year. I don't even think a year is going to because Avatar is still crowded as hell.
Yes,
and
it's
been open for like 2 years.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What I understand, it's like a separate ticket to get into Star Wars Land.
No.
That's the rumor that I've heard and everyone's saying that's what's going to happen.
Be an upcharge, but I don't think it'd be a separate ticket.
It's a separate ticket. That's what they're saying.
I don't know if I believe
that. Maybe at Disneyland. I don't think that's going to be the case in Florida because of where it's going.
And then like the pricing tiers that they're going to have for the Disneyland or Galaxy's Edge, whatever the fuck it's called. It's going to be like cruise liner price tiering.
The hotel?
Yeah, hotel and the experience, whatever.
Well, now that's a whole different thing. Like, just getting to go into the land is one thing, but no, if you're doing the whole experience, yes, that's a whole additional thing.
I heard it's like, you know, $1,100, $1,200.
Is it worth it?
So what is it? Like, what?
So they're building
it's
a Star Wars land.
But for Star Wars.
But they are building a Star Wars hotel as part of it. If you stay at the hotel, it's a fully immersive experience. You become a character in the Star Wars universe.
Sweet.
And as you go through the Star Wars land, the characters will interact with your character. As you go on rides and do things, you build a reputation because the rides are interactive.
Okay.
So how you perform on the rides gets tied to you, like to your wristband or whatever, probably.
Yeah.
And so when you like go into the cantina, oh, you're this hero. Like people know who you are. Yeah. And
or if you don't do something, it has an effect too.
Okay. It's amazing.
Also, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's May because the Millennium Falcon ride is just about ready. And
ready,
and they're doing beta testing right now, and they're saying it's going to sit up to 8 people. in the a single ride?
Well, there.
And everybody has a job to do.
Everybody has a job to do, but it's not just one pod. There's going to be multiple.
Yeah, there's multiple pods.
It's like the Back to the Future
thing. Pod.
Yeah.
But,
right.
But still, like, it's only eight people, and it's a 10-minute, 15-minute ride?
No, it's not that long.
Isn't it?
No, there's no way it can be that long. Probably like 4 to 5 minutes.
Well, anyway, they're testing it now, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be ready by May.
Surely they give you some minutes to everyone get, you know, like some idea of what they're supposed
pre-show.
To do.
They'll ingrain that in your head in the pre-show.
That's pretty standard, like, Disney stuff at this point. Yeah. If, like, if something's required of you in the ride, you do it in line now.
Okay.
It's something to do while you pass the time.
Yep.
Ah, nice.
They've gotten smart.
So
on
if
that.
You go, you got to let us know if it's ready.
I don't,
and you got to wait in line.
You got to do it.
That would be his entire trip.
That would be my.
I'm just saying that's what you got to do.
They're talking like 10-hour lines for that when it first opens.
Get a fast pass for it.
That's why I don't want to go within the first year.
Even with the fast pass, how long do you think it would be?
At least 6 hours.
Yeah,
six
probably.
6 hours. It would go by like that.
Yeah. Sure will. I don't know. I don't even know when it's opening. So
I'm pretty sure it's May, but I mean, I could be hearing it wrong. But I'm pretty sure it's May.
California's first.
Summer,
and I've heard summer, and then Florida is fall.
Yep.
It's either it's opening to the press in May or it's opening to the public in May. But I've heard something is opening this May.
Okay, I'll keep an eye out for it. I mean, I don't know, but if it does open. That means the rest of the park is going to be fucking empty.
Probably not.
Maybe not.
I doubt that.
You don't think so? What's going to happen is everyone's going to hit a wall and everyone's like, oh, well, fuck, I better go to the rest of the park.
That's probably true. They can't fit any more people in the Star Wars land. And,
guess we'll go ride the Jungle Cruise.
Yep.
You can only fit so many people in that damn park.
But, you know, you got to think, like, I mean, right when they open that, someone's going to be doing it. I mean, I know there's a lot of people that are going to do it, but why not?
People are going to be camped out, like for a TV type of deal for days.
Yeah.
It's going to be like Black Friday to the extreme.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting.
They know what they're doing.
And you're going in May, so it's like peak time.
Yeah. So it would be like almost like a village of like Star Wars stuff. Almost like
it's a whole like a Texas.
It's a 14-acre Star Wars.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, we're planning to go. We're planning to do our Disneyland. If we go for 2 days, we're going to go during the week. So cool. We're probably going to go on Saturday because the show is on Sunday, and then Monday, Tuesday at the park, and then come home.
Right on. Just 2 days, huh?
2 or 3 days, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. We want to go to Amoeba, though. I was thinking about Universal there, too, because I haven't been to Universal there in a long time.
I hear the Universal in L.A. is not as great.
It's not as good.
Yeah.
No, for sure.
You know, I've never been, so I couldn't tell you.
That's the only one I've been to, and it was a long, long time ago.
Universal in Florida is awesome.
I went to Universal in L.A. Yeah, like 1999. It was a long, long time ago.
Wow, the peak of the millennium.
Yeah. Mine was probably around then or a little earlier.
That's when they still had the Jurassic Park ride.
I remember that day because
it's closed now.
Yeah.
That was the day I went to the Hard Rock there.
Refurbished.
And
repurposed.
Saw the U.S. women's team win the World
Jurassic
Cup.
Jurassic World.
Yep. And I bumped into Drew Barrymore bumped into me.
Did you bump her in the boob?
No. She bumped into me because she had this big gaggle of people around her. And I was walking out of the Hard Rock and she wasn't paying attention and she kind of just ran right into me. And she's like, oh. And I got to talk to her for
should've
a few minutes
about
like, who are all these people around you? I was like, I was really young.
You're like, oh, my spleen.
It's like they follow you
she
around
she was married
everywhere.
To Tom Green at that time, right?
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
I forgot
she had
that
just
that
become a big deal.
I'm sure she does too. He doesn't. I'm sure
I
she
even
does.
I don't know what Drew Barrymore is up to these days. Probably just coked out somewhere.
No, she's on that Netflix show.
That's
Clarita
right.
Santa Clarita Diet. Yeah, I like that show. It's good.
She's an elegant actress now.
Tom Green. What's Tom Green up to?
Tom Green money.
About six foot or something.
I remember he came on a Houston in a tour a couple of years ago.
Did he?
Yeah.
Does he have like an internet show still or something like that?
I have
that?
No fucking idea.
I don't know.
Anybody has an internet show these days.
We do.
Do we though?
We have a show and it's distributed via internet. We have an internet show.
Sure, why not?
Technically, yes, we do. If you want to go by the actual
technical term there.
It's a definition. I'm taking it.
All right, so you're going on a trip. What else you got going on?
That's it.
Any Christmas plans? That is quite literally around the corner.
That's one of the things I want to talk about is our sort of a topic. It's what is everybody's sort of like holiday, you know, not their plans, but, you know, tradition, the ritual.
Bathing in blood.
What?
Sacrifices in the woods.
Yeah. I'd stop reading my diary.
I was about to say that.
I've told you.
I was like, you can't copy everything that Dave does, all right?
I was going off of the forest critters from South Park, but that works too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, now that I mean, growing up, I didn't, you know, really celebrate Christmas. And
what?
Can you imagine?
Is it because you're Jewish?
I was.
Was? What happened?
I don't know. I grew
you
out
no
of
longer
it.
Exist.
I'm what they call a holiday Jew.
I'm just messing with you, man. I know. I'm just giving you a hard time. Could have fooled me, though. I would have never guessed you're Jewish.
I don't really have like traditions on Christmas. The only thing I do is on Christmas Eve, I will I have some Irish whiskey, I have some Bailey's and coffee.
Sounds like an evening.
Make some Irish coffees and watch Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah. Christmas Eve?
Yeah.
Is there a reason for that?
I don't know. It's just something I've been doing for past like 20 years.
I don't ever associate Conan the Barbarian with Christmas Eve.
I can't even explain why. I think – I don't remember why I started the first time. I think it was a bunch of us, friends of mine, we would do it. And I just carried it on like
– Right on. All right,
yeah. We're actually celebrating a Jewish Christmas this year. On Christmas Eve, we're going out with some friends. We're going to go get Chinese food and we're going to the movies.
Nice.
Someone watched Christmas Story one too many times.
I want to go to the movies on Christmas, but it's just like – I don't – it's always a full theater.
Because it's Christmas Day.
I know.
Go in the morning.
But that bothers me.
Go in the morning.
Yeah?
Everybody's just buy reserved seats.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go to a theater that has reserved seats.
I've done movies on Christmas a couple of times. And yeah, if you go early, it's not too bad.
It's been our tradition to do the past couple years to see Star Wars on Christmas Day again.
We don't have a Star Wars movie this year. I'm sort of weird.
Couldn't fucking wait on Solo.
There's like three or four movies coming out next week that we really want to see.
Yeah, like what?
Mary Poppins.
Don't go see it.
Why?
It's terrible.
Have you seen it?
No, I don't need to. I heard the soundtrack. It's more than enough.
Whatever.
It's a terrible soundtrack.
You have no love in your heart. The soundtrack sucks. You don't need to go see
it. Exactly. Mary Poppins. Not listened to the music? It's terrible.
No, I haven't.
It's not good.
Well, we have the Elite Pass, or the A-List Pass,
A-List
whatever.
From Amazon
so ultimately,
or AMC.
AMC, so it ultimately doesn't matter.
Sure. What else is you're looking forward to seeing for Christmas?
Let's see. Aquaman?
Yeah. I'm going to probably take my nephews to go.
Probably going to go see Sherlock and Holmes.
I forgot that's coming out this week.
Comes out on Christmas Day, yeah.
No one's going to see that movie.
What is this movie?
Will Ferrell and...
Sherlock and Watson. It's Will Ferrell and John C.
Reilly. It's a stepbrother-style spoof on Sherlock Holmes.
They're homies.
Thanks. I'll pass on that. I vaguely remember a trailer for it.
I watched one trailer and I was like, I'll wait for Netflix.
Maybe Bumblebee? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to go see Bumblebee.
It's going to be fun.
It's good. They say it's good so far.
They say it's the best Transformers.
Is it still a Michael Bay?
That is low bar.
It is.
I enjoy
it's Generation 1 Transformers, so it makes up for it.
I enjoy the first Michael Bay Transformers, the one that came out in like 2004 or 5 or whatever. Mm.
And I think my wife wants to see there's a Ruth Bader Ginsburg movie coming out. Something of Sex. On the Basis of Sex?
Oh, I've heard of that. Yeah. I heard that's supposed to be good. I also want to go see The Favorite, but I don't think I'm going to see it before it's out of theaters. Mm.
That's,
it's a Greek filmmaker. Got to represent.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yorgos Lanthimos.
I just have no interest in seeing Aquaman. Just like looking at the trailer is just kind of
I hear it's fun.
Unmoved.
I've heard it's supposed to be the second best DC movie
compared to
Wonder Woman.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't spelled out explicitly. It was just said. Oh, this is
this is second tier best.
Better than Suicide Squad.
But like, I don't care.
I'm out on comic book movies.
The trailer makes it look
Did you see Spider-Man?
Hey,
let's talk about that in a minute.
We watched Black Panther 2. Like, that's what the Aquaman trailer feels like. It's like the exact same movie as Black Panther.
There's a comparison trailer.
Is there?
They put both of the movies together.
Yeah,
it's like
Black Panther was a terrible movie, though.
I enjoyed it.
I didn't hate it.
I saw Justice League.
You still have no love in your heart,
right? Aquaman. No. What was he in?
What?
What was Aquaman's introduction?
Justice League, wasn't it?
No, well,
Batman versus Superman?
Yeah, kind of. Barely. Barely. And then it was Justice League where he had his first screen time.
Justice League, right. Yeah. I just feel like when I'm looking at the trailer for Aquaman, I'm just like, I feel like I've already seen this movie.
You probably have.
You know? So.
I hear like the first half of the movie is really good.
Yeah.
And yes, Black Panther is a terrible movie. I don't care if it's an unpopular opinion. It's a terrible movie.
Yeah, you know, canceling.
Definitely unpopular.
Canceling something like Daredevil, which I really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is just, it's just sort of like, if you cancel the best superhero type stuff that you had going, then I'm not.
There's a lot
anymore.
Of reasons behind.
There's
that.
A lot of politics behind it.
I get it, but yeah, it's just like sure. Also, it's just like I don't have the endurance to keep up with all these movies anymore. And after a while, it's just it's going on for so long. I think I've been out of super. I've been disinterested for like a couple years, but I think now I'm just permanently like anything else. I'll watch anything else.
I feel like. I'm not quite there, but I do feel like if the next Avengers movie doesn't like really end a bunch of stuff, so that from that point on mm-hmm. we get a whole lot of new things.
But
like
end is in the name.
I know, but that doesn't mean shit. Doesn't mean a goddamn thing,
I know
and you
it
know
doesn't
it
doesn't mean anything.
But they need to end a lot of stuff in that movie.
Totally.
Like, I'm not saying they need to kill a bunch of people. Some people they need to kill.
But they need to close
up
a lot of
But they need to close up a lot of storylines. They need to finish a bunch of stuff off so that then you can have a semi-clean slate to start telling new stories with. Because they can't, like, I'm with you. If they keep doing this, it's like, you can only raise the stakes so many times, and it's not...
It can only be the end of the world so many times. Right.
Yeah. And we've talked about it on here before, but that's why Spider-Man Homecoming was so much fun.
Sure.
Because he was your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man solving friendly neighborhood Spider-Man problems.
Right.
You know?
Well, I mean, just what you just said. You can only end the world so many times or threaten to end the world so many times. Like, yeah, there are the stakes in these movies. I don't ever get any type of investment with the villain of any of these movies. Just sort of like, oh, just some guy who's going to take over the world and he's going to get clobbered at the end or whatever. Like at the end of Justice League, and it's just sort of like
I have yet to see Justice League.
I don't think that they have a good. There are no more good villains for these guys. You know, whenever I watched like Dark Knight the first time, there was always that feeling of like, are they actually going to have the Joker? Because I thought that when he was like getting away from the hospital and he's sticking his head out of the truck or whatever he's doing. I thought like they might actually end it right there, and he might actually win, and this might be like the way they turn this movie out. And there was like this sense of unpredictability. And now, whenever I watch these big budget, super all star cast like Marvel or DC, movies, I never for one second think that the villain has any sort of gravitas or any sort of magnificence beyond just their actual
So you're saying Jared Leto wasn't the best Joker?
It's Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
Always.
Forever and always.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have any empire moments.
Oh yeah, well.
There needs to be a little more darkness and drama into these things where the bad guy does win sometimes or something.
I also feel that's a kind
Infinity
of a trend
War
that's been happening for a long time.
Yeah, but
the bad guy did win in Infinity War.
But the problem is like
they're going to fix it, but they
telegraph these things so far in advance that everyone knows that, oh, after Infinity War comes da-da-da, whatever, and that's going to be the end of...
That's like the Spider-Man death scene was meaningless in Infinity War because... We already know he's coming back.
Right. And you already know there's another Black Panther movie.
And so, the whole when Thanos snapped his fingers, it was, to me, didn't mean shit. Didn't mean anything.
Because you know that there's another movie.
Because I know they're about to fix it all.
Right, yeah.
Ant-Man's going to save the day.
Supposedly, yeah.
Man.
Like, I enjoyed it. I liked the movie, but that... That
Paul Rudd
part
should
of the
always
movie
save the day.
Didn't have any impact.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't have any weight.
Yeah.
They're a fun ride, but it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
I agree. I like Ant-Man and the Wasp a lot. It's a good movie.
Still haven't seen that one.
It's fun. Much better than the first one.
First one was good too.
Yeah.
I used to like Paul Rudd.
I think it's kind of a trend for movies from the past like 10 years or so where what you're talking about where like the stakes are too high, but they mean nothing, and like the villain doesn't really have a presence.
Right.
And I will say that out of all the villains that they've been in all these superhero movies in the past 10 years, DC, Marvel, Thanos is the most fleshed out villain, in my opinion, because he actually, you could see where he was going for with his reasoning for what he did. All the other ones are just like, yeah, I just want to be evil.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, I sort of enjoy that about that movie.
For what it's worth, The Dark Knight is still my favorite comic book movie.
Oh, 100%. Because he didn't have any grand, because the Joker in that movie didn't have any grander vision. They just chaos.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
And it was localized.
Not the best.
It was in a city. It wasn't, you know, good, to destroy though. The world.
It's
or whatever.
Like close.
What's
Dave is like just staring daggers at you. He's like, what are you going to say, motherfucker?
I think to me,
say what bullshit.
I think to me, and it always will be, like, even after seeing the new Spider-Man, which I was in love with, I still think Spider-Man 2 is the best superhero movie ever made.
I enjoyed Spider-Man 2, the original, the Tobey Maguire one.
It's
yeah,
good, but really I don't good. Think it's the best.
It is. There hasn't been a movie that conveyed heroism and heart and
had
and like drama had real stakes, but it didn't have the end of the world stakes to it, and it was had personal meaning to the character that Sam Raimi made, that version of Spider-Man rather. And
I agree. I remember walking out of that movie thinking that was like a really good,
and like I don't think there's been a movie since Spider-Man 2 that's really captured that, oh my god, what a heroic moment.
What about Spider-Man 3?
The finger guns with finger gun. Spider-Man 3.
So let's take a break real quick. Let's talk about Into the Spider-Verse. I know you've seen it.
Spider-Verse.
Have you seen it, Dave?
No.
Have I plan on seeing it a second time.
I want to see it again.
I think I'm going to try to see it in IMAX. So.
It is ultimately my second favorite Spider-Man movie of all time.
What's your first?
Homecoming.
Really?
Yeah, Homecoming, this one, and then Spider-Man 2, actually.
What makes Homecoming your favorite?
There's just something about that movie that's...
I mean, besides they got Peter Parker almost pitch perfect in
well,
that
yeah.
one.
Well, yeah.
Besides that,
I liked it a lot. It was a lot of fun. Okay. Tom Holland was like a perfect.
He's a great
Peter Parker.
He's a great Spider-Man. Yeah, don't get me wrong. I just I don't know. There was no emotional stakes in that one for me, I guess. But I liked it quite a bit.
You have no heart.
Earlier, I felt like the villain in that was actually an interesting
the Vulture
villain. Yeah,
yeah
like
yeah, he's really
like,
good.
As far as like. Where he came from
yeah.
and like why he's doing what he's doing.
Yeah, it all
like,
made sense.
Oh, okay. This is
and even
is
like in the post credit
cool.
scene, he kind of like stuck up for the good guy, even yeah. though he was the bad guy, which mm-hmm. was kind of like, oh, that's unpredictable.
So let's talk about Into the Spider-Verse. I fucking loved it.
I loved it too.
Everything about it, everything but some of the music choices. I was like, yeah, okay. It was very
I don't know, I
modern hip hop is for me.
The soundtrack quite a bit.
I'm sure you did.
It was really pretty good.
George loves hip hop.
I do.
I know.
I like music, sir. I think that's where it really ends.
Yeah, sure.
I don't have a problem with that.
I mean, it fit the movie really well, though. I mean, it
I
really
mean,
did.
Miles Morales is a, you know, a black kid in Brooklyn. It makes sense.
I didn't say it didn't.
Okay.
Don't call me racist.
I didn't.
Okay.
You're the one that's calling yourself racist.
Everything about the movie was great. The animation style.
The animation, something I've never seen before.
It was...
It's probably the closest thing to a comic book on screen.
Oh, yeah, for
that's
sure.
ever been made.
The only thing I wish there was more of the multiverse Spider-Man in the movie.
Well, you got to save something for the sequel.
I know, but...
And plus, I liked it that it was all about Miles Morales, and it was truly about his story in this movie. And, like, you got little tidbits of... Peter B. Parker and
yep
and it was cool.
Well, like, there's multiple Peter Parkers in the movie,
right?
We're not going to spoil anything.
Did you know the blonde one was Chris Evans?
Chris Pine.
Oh, it was Chris Pine.
That's all in the credits.
Yeah,
yeah.
There you go. He also did the song too. That was him singing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Christmas song.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah, that's really.
I didn't realize that was him.
I hated that wasn't on the soundtrack.
Yeah,
but it's not the best. Spider-Man.
I definitely recommend seeing this movie for
sure.
See
it twice. Don't see it once.
Yeah. It's really, really good.
It's great.
Spider-Ham's in it. He's amazing.
He's funny. Dave Mahaney?
John Mulaney.
John Mulaney. There you go.
I love John Mulaney.
Yeah, he plays Spider-Ham.
I didn't realize that's who was playing.
Yeah. There's already
Nick
rumors
Cage
that...
Nick Cage does Spider-Man Noir.
Yep.
Wait. John Mulaney plays who?
Spider-Ham.
Okay.
Nick Cage was Superman in Teen Titans Go!
Yep.
The movies
I haven't seen
this
that
year.
Yet.
It was, do you like the show?
I do like the show.
Then you'll like the movie.
Okay.
I don't really know the show that well, but I love the movie. It was great.
I I got into the show because I have kids, yeah. And like we'd catch snippets of it at the end of other shows we were watching, and finally, like, there were enough jokes that me and my wife were like, this show is written for us, not for our kids. Like, it, all of the jokes are all like 80s and 90s pop culture humor, yep. And yeah. Like all
well, this, the like, writers are our age.
Yeah, right, so exactly.
Yeah, I keep telling myself I'm going to buy that movie, but every time I see it, I was like, $20 is still too much for that movie.
It's a long Teen Titans Go episode. And just like the show, it's all meta. It's all nice. Like
super meta.
Does Batman still not talk? Because that's hilarious.
He actually does talk a little bit in this one, which kind of ruined it for me. Because that was part of one of the running gags in Teen Titans Go is Batman. Batman is at least referenced in every episode,
but he never talks.
But when he shows up, he never talks.
Really,
he laughs. Him and Commissioner Gordon like have sleepovers together and like go out. It's really weird, and they'll laugh and giggle with each other, but they don't talk.
If you have Hulu, you can catch up on the show.
Okay,
oh, really?
I'll have to check it out.
They're like 10 minutes each.
Yeah, it's bizarre as fuck.
It's so awesome.
Just like the movie, the really bizarre Stanley cameo was pretty great. I did.
Yeah.
I rented it on the Redbox.
Stanley is a cameo in a DC movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right.
10-minute long episodes. Is this kind of like an Adult Swim type thing?
No, it's Cartoon Network. Okay. They usually, when it airs on TV, it's like a double episode.
Okay.
Yeah. So it'll be a 30-minute block, and there's two episodes in a 30-minute block.
I was telling Carrie on the last MSRcast, I've been rewatching all the Harvey Birdman on Hulu. I love it so much.
I keep on forgetting to watch that new episode you were talking about.
It's not on Hulu.
It's on their website.
On their website.
Yeah. Has it come out yet?
Yeah, it came out in October. It was like the one-off episode. I've been
meaning to watch that. Yeah, it's like a special.
Harvey Birdman, Attorney General.
Yeah. I heard about it for a while. And
I have the DVDs of the series, actually.
Yeah. I've heard it's pretty much a direct mocking of the Trump administration, basically.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So is the Trump administration.
Yeah.
Getting political.
No, not going there. I did also see Once Upon a Deadpool.
I'm sorry.
Why are you sorry?
Because you rewatched Deadpool 2.
I did. With some extra stuff.
With Princess Bride jokes.
Yep. That's exactly what it was. And it wasn't bad. It was fun.
It was all right. I saw all the extended trailers. No.
Okay.
Like all the stuff in the movies in the extended trailer, for what I understand.
No.
Okay.
No.
Beg to differ.
I saw it.
I don't need to pay money to go see it. Well, that's,
I didn't have to pay money. That's the beauty of that AMC.
You did. You pay for it every month.
Technically, yes, but technically,
it's like saying I pay for Netflix and those movies on Netflix are free. They're not free.
It depends on how much you watched.
You watched it.
Negligible.
Yes,
it's negligible.
Negligible.
Let's leave it at that.
Anyway, so
there is an awesome 2-minute tribute to Stan Lee at the end of that movie after credit scene.
That was a great tribute in Spider-Man too.
I'm trying to remember what it was.
The Stan Lee tribute. He's a salesman.
Oh yeah.
And then they have that great quote, and then they also dedicate it to
Jack Kirby.
Jack Kirby, thank you.
Finally,
and there's also a John Romita Sr.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out in the movie.
There was a lot of shout outs to B. Bendis in that movie.
Yeah. Well, he's a producer in the movie.
Well, yeah. But he also created Miles Morales, so.
He's rolling in the dough. Next thing they're like, all right, what's the next Bendis property we can adapt?
Next thing, no, he's going to go to DC. Oh, wait a minute, he did.
Oh.
Leave Marvel and go to DC.
He's rolling in the Marvel money right now, so.
He's writing Superman now, isn't it?
Superman? The comic book?
The comic book.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
I stopped reading the big two comics for a while.
I have the Marvel Unlimited app. That's about it.
I've been thinking about getting that. Can you share your code?
We do. We share an account.
Can I share your account?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about. Tell them about that. Freeze.
I don't know what you're talking about. But
so anyway, yeah.
Technically, maybe yes.
Yes, maybe yes. Spider-Man's awesome. You'd like it, Sean.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, I'll have to give it a shot.
You like animated movies, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is great.
Okay.
You'd right up your alley.
Yeah.
Totally.
Kids will like it, too.
Kids love it.
Spider-Ham's hilarious. And there's, like, an anime girl, which I never read the Ultimate series, so I have no idea who that anime girl is.
Well, I think there's a lot of Spider-Verse comics out there, so there's, like, all these different Spider-Man from different universes. I don't really know her that well.
The guy
well.
From who did the Umbrella Academy created that anime girl.
Oh,
he's
really?
Also in a band.
Gerard
My Chemical Way? Romance yeah. band. Yeah, the same guy. He created that character.
Umbrella Academy is actually a good series.
It's becoming a TV series now.
I saw that.
On Sci-Fi Network?
I thought it was Hulu or Netflix or one of those two.
Oh, whatever. Becoming a TV network.
Yep. That could be interesting.
Could it? Could it?
At least you might not have to make more My Chemical Romance music.
Have they?
I don't know. I have no idea, man.
What do you know?
That he writes comics, that's about it.
It's paying the bills.
So what's everybody looking forward to next year? Any predictions?
Well, the first, I mean, True Detective season 3 comes out in January.
What? Yeah. What? Who's I hope
in,
it's good.
Who's in this it, one? I don't even know.
What's his name? He was
the guy from Moonlight.
Yeah.
He was also the bad guy in
Mahershala Ali.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. The just the trailer looks, it really took me back to like the first season vibe of like this story.
I tried watching the second season. It was not good.
Yeah. It was.
You know what made it good?
It wasn't awful.
Did you watch it all the way through?
I did not. Yeah.
Oh, so spoiler alert, Colin Farrell gets shot in the third episode, like in the chest,
right,
with a shotgun. Lives through it.
Well, wasn't he wearing a vest?
No, he was shot with rock salt.
Okay, right, yeah.
Right. And I think he was wearing a vest, too.
You won't bother me about that second season, that episode, because he's in that house, right, and he's looking around.
Right.
They have that weird thing on the coffee table. It's like that weird kind of futuristic-looking statue that has this holographic image in the middle of it.
Uh-huh.
They never explained it. They never went back to it, never referenced it again.
Don't even remember that.
A lot of shows do that now. It's like the MacGuffin to keep you coming back. Were they going to explain that?
Yeah.
No, they never do. Like Lost.
So, like, I think True Detective Season 2 could have been good had they actually took riskier chances.
Yeah.
Like, had they killed off Colin Farrell in Episode 3, I would have been blown away. I'm like, fuck, what else is going to happen?
Yeah.
But it never really
did then anything. Amy, who else was in that? Amy Adams or...
Yeah, Amy Adams. Right? No, not Amy Adams. Chick from
Rachel. Rachel McAdams.
Rachel McAdams.
She was good. I mean, the acting was fine.
Taylor
Kitsch.
No wonder why it was crappy. Yeah.
He was good at parts, but then they fucked up his character and made him like a confusing gay person.
Yeah, in
the
closet.
He was gay, but then he wasn't gay.
Right.
I can't remember. I just remember thinking it was very poorly done.
But the trailer, the 2-minute extended trailer for the new season, it's like, it has that sense of scope where you can tell the stories in the span decades, and it's going to be this
like, so
epic.
It's like he's revisiting an old case.
He's
right?
like an old man.
Yeah.
And he's basically just consumed by this old case that I guess is not solved or something.
Right.
And it, yeah.
It looks good.
Yeah. It looks dark. It's like set in Mississippi.
I wonder
or
if there's
going to
be any
like
weird stuff like they had in season one.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Like all the weird H.P. Lovecraft references from season one.
I would love for them to tie it in together, like a little bit. I think that would be awesome.
The same killer. No, it's
no. Yeah.
I don't know. There's a few things I'm looking forward to in the new year, I guess.
Game of Thrones, eventually.
Oh, yeah.
Game of Thrones comes back next year.
April,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
God, it's going to be so epic.
Remember when they said we're not going to have new episodes till 2020?
Yeah.
No, they said 2019.
2019, that's what I mean. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But, hey, we're almost there.
Yeah, we are almost there. And it's like...
Doctor Who that's not going to have new episodes till 2020 now. They just reintroduced...
Well, taking a break.
I know, but that's
plus
it.
That chick,
that's
yeah.
a long break.
Yeah.
She has to do her other commitments that she's made. Right?
Yeah.
I guess.
American Gods Season 2 comes out around spring.
I couldn't finish Season 1.
Oh, I loved it.
It was just so dry.
I never actually watched it.
Yeah, I mean, it just picked
Showtime
up.
Or
it was on Stars.
Stars.
Yeah.
We all had different answers.
Is it on Cinemax?
Stars. Yeah,
I'll just say HBO. So we can round it all out.
Cinemax.
That's right. It is on Stars because I remember using my phone to watch it.
Yeah.
Dave, what are you excited about next?
Doom
year?
Eternal. Doom Eternal.
The game?
Yeah.
Is that a new game?
New Doom game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sequel to the 2016 game.
Yeah.
Right on.
Is it a direct sequel or?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah. Was that the demo we just played?
No.
Okay.
That's its own thing.
Okay.
Doom with a DFR or something like that. The PlayStation 4 VR version.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You got sick.
I got motion sick.
It didn't take very long.
No, almost immediately.
Yeah. Really?
Actually, it started to kick in almost immediately. Wow. And so that whole time I was playing, I was like, don't puke.
Because I noticed you weren't saying a lot. Yeah.
It's fun.
But it was cool. Like, I wish I hadn't gotten motion sickness because I was enjoying it. Right. And it was weird because I don't usually deal with motion sickness. And so, you know, I don't know. That's something I would either have to acclimate to, or maybe that's just not for me.
You got to play it too, Sean. You got to play, when you played Astrobot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I liked that game a lot.
Yeah. It was an experience for sure. It was strange how small the character was in relation to your vantage point and everything. But yeah, it was cool. Kind of Crash Bandicoot-y.
Like a Mario 64.
Right, yeah, like, yeah. Yeah, a little bit more like that, yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We have Aladdin coming out next year.
Well, so we're talking about stuff we're looking forward to.
Well, are you not looking forward
not
to Aladdin?
Really. Looking forward more to The Lion King, but...
Really? I actually am looking
forward to Aladdin. I like Aladdin, but... I like the cartoon.
I just want to see how fucking bad can it get.
That's my interest too.
It's Guy Ritchie's Aladdin. Come on,
all right.
It's gonna be weird.
It can't be worse than that King Arthur movie he made, can it?
I don't know if I saw that.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
With
Charlie Hunnam and Jude Law.
King Arthur.
Yeah, it's called King Arthur: The Legend of the Sword or something like.
Did
that.
Did they have Keira Knightley in there?
No.
Okay, I remember.
That's the one with Clive Owen.
Yeah, that was bad.
It was all right.
I liked that one.
It was okay. They tried to.
It wasn't like I saw it.
They tried
to
put some serious realism in it.
I saw it in like a matinee on like a chilled out Saturday or whatever, okay, and so it was like, yeah, okay, that was all
right. Right.
I saw it for free when I worked at Blockbuster, so I was like, oh, that's all right. Avengers Endgame comes out next year.
That's it, right? For the Avengers, the final one.
Until they come out with Avengers Reassembled.
That comes out. Okay, so Reassembled.
How is that not the next title after this Avengers movie?
Right.
That has to be the next
Captain
title.
Marvel comes out first, right? That's in March, and then Endgame with what, April or May?
According to this, April 26th.
April 26th, okay. There you go.
And then you got Pokemon Detective.
Oh, God.
Pikachu.
I saw the trailer.
I will be
does
seeing that
Does that trailer
movie.
Look fucking convincing or not?
No, it does not.
It looks very convincing to me. I had zero interest until I watched that trailer. I
still have zero interest.
All right, you might got me.
I preferred the version of the trailer where they used Alex Jones clips in place of all the
right stuff. Right. I saw that.
That one? Yeah. That was pretty good.
Shazam comes out next year.
I could be interested in that one. I like Zachary
Levi. The trailer looks good. Dumbo comes out next year.
All the upcoming live action quote unquote Disney movies. I'm like
terrible.
I'm like maybe.
Right.
Maybe guys. Maybe.
Did the Lion King already come out?
No, it comes out next year as well. That comes out, I think, in the middle.
It's amazing that they're doing all these live action movies.
That comes out July 19th.
Well, and like that, none of them are actually live action. Like
right, yeah.
They call them live action. It's just it's live backgrounds.
But it's just like something that
they don't call it live action anymore. They call it reimaginings.
I know, but it
just seems like something that no one ever asked for. You know what I mean? Like, why are you doing
I don't know
this?
How they're going to improve
At least
on Lion King.
Like Lion King is like the perfect animated movie.
Yeah, agreed.
Even though they stole it from Japan.
Well, yeah. They stole it from Shakespeare. It's fucking Hamlet.
I'm talking about Kimba the Lion.
Well, Disney steals every story pretty much.
That's true.
They've only had a couple of original stories.
I have like very fond memories of watching Aladdin.
And, I still watch it all the time.
And the thing is like, okay, no Robin Williams, no. Mm. I mean, I don't. I just I feel like there's
it doesn't
magic
matter.
To the original.
It doesn't matter who they got
right.
to play the genie.
Yeah,
it's not Robin Williams.
It's not Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Aladdin is one of my favorite animated movies of all time.
Are they going to reprise the song?
Yes. You
know, they are? Okay.
Yeah.
Really?
It's
another version of A Friend Like Me that Will Smith will be rapping to.
No, I'm talking about the ballad, the glorious, wondrous ballad.
A whole new world?
A whole new world, yeah.
I would assume so. The guys that they got for to play Aladdin and the girl are both Broadway singers and actors.
I would be really disappointed if they just like...
Or Bollywood actors.
If they overproduce it and modernize it up to be some... Because R&B, that song is like kind of set into that 90s weird R&B. It doesn't really exist anymore. in like mainstream pop music. So how are they going to transpose that song to adapt to a new audience that's more used to Cardi B and whatever is.
Did you not see the Beauty and the Beast remake?
No, I didn't. No.
It was terrible.
Okay.
I mean, it wasn't terrible.
They kept the same music, though.
I actually liked that one.
There's parts of it that are pretty, the Gaston song that they made for the movie was great.
Okay. If George thinks it's terrible, we probably liked it.
That's true. There was a whole new song in that one.
The Beast one,
The Beast song.
Yeah. Which I thought was okay.
I thought was great. I loved the Beast song. He sings when he sends Belle away. He has a song of, you know, this is my sad song now.
Is it just kind of like Broadway vocal type stuff?
Yeah. God, I thought it was wonderful.
See, what I think they should do with Aladdin is like go nuts with everything else, but for that one song, go keep it true.
Keep it ridge.
Yeah, keep it ridge.
That's what they kind of did in Beauty and the Beast with Be
Broadway vocal style or whatever, yeah.
I imagine they'll do that.
I mean, there's certain things you have to keep the same or close to the same.
You got to understand, they're tapping into the veins of nostalgia in here. So.
Right, yeah.
They got to keep some things.
Did you ever watch the Baz Luhrmann in 2013? He had the Great Gatsby, his version of the Great Gatsby.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the soundtrack was like very, like, it was like
hip-hop-y. Yeah.
Hip-hop-y. Was that 2013?
Yeah.
Was that long ago?
Yeah.
My God.
It's because Jay-Z produced the soundtrack.
Yeah, but it was like they had stuff like that that really bothered like a lot of like purists and stuff. But I loved it because it was like...
It was different.
It was different and it was fresh and it didn't take
I didn't
away
like
anything.
It the first time, but when I saw it on television, I was like, oh, I kind of get it now.
Yeah. But they still had like
I saw bits and pieces of it.
They still had like grandiose ballads from like Lana Del Rey and stuff like that that would kind of weave back into it and still make it feel cohesive.
Remember it was green screen like a motherfucker.
It was.
Yeah. Like 90% of the movie.
The costume 95%. Design was great.
It was a Great Gatsby reimagining.
No, okay. That's reimagined.
Yeah.
They used to put colon.
You know, YouTube
reimagined.
Is doing a YouTube original show called Gats, which is a prequel to The Great Gatsby.
Why? They need to be really careful with that.
Why?
I don't know. I guess tell you
who's
why.
Been itching for that story.
That's like part of the appeal of The Great Gatsby
is
not knowing much about
that's
Great
the
Gatsby.
Point.
So
that the only summation you get of Gatsby's life is when he's
dying.
Well, after his death, and you read about all those times with when he was on the sailboat with Dan Cody, going around the world or whatever, and you can imagine this weird kind of transient life this character had. I don't want to see that fleshed out too much.
That's going to make the adjective not work anymore.
Right. Yeah.
It's like now we know his story. We know he's really not that great.
Yeah.
Right.
They need to be
unless
careful
they like
with that.
You know
overgrade him.
Yeah, make him great again.
Make Gatsby great again.
Make Gatsby great
isn't
again.
Isn't Lord of the Rings Amazon coming out next year? I think it's like
is next
year.
Is it next year?
It's like late next year, I think.
Well, I did not know that. I thought they were still in the midst of trying to make it.
No, because once Game of Thrones ends, all these networks, all these prestige TV providers,
like we need a fantasy to fill in that
are
slot.
Seriously, they are all unleashing their fantasy.
How do you feel about that, Dave?
It's great.
Don't know.
It's great.
I don't know.
Dave's our resident Tolkien.
It is great because
this guy
to go from nothing to go from just like one thing to having like a plethora of it. Some of it will suck undoubtedly, but you might get a few gems.
I think he's asking about the Lord of the Rings specifically. What do you think?
It's going to be a 50-50 suck.
I don't know.
Or it's going to either suck
like,
really hard
so
or it's going to be amazing.
They're not doing Lord of the Rings movies again.
No.
They're doing like a prequel.
It's a prequel
it's
to
like,
Lord of the Rings.
It's like a completely, prequel. It's like a whole, it's its own story set in the...
Like in the background while the other shit's happening.
No, the time period is...
Hundreds of years or something like that?
Yeah, it's well before the events of Lord of the Rings.
It's going to be centered around
It's going to be an 8-hour series of people walking.
As his when he's like a ranger.
What did you say?
It's about Aragorn.
Is it?
Yeah, it's like young Aragorn when he's when he's just becoming a ranger. I think
I wouldn't make it about him.
And that's my problem with it too, because ultimately there's no consequence to anything that happens. Because
you
to
know
him.
What happens to him.
Right. Yeah.
Like it should be another ranger that's not related to the Lord of the Rings.
They had to have a but the thing is like the interesting thing is that Viggo Mortensen has talked to the actor who's playing young Aragorn and he's like coached him and he's given them like insight into the character.
Who's playing,
I can't remember the guy's name, but it I don't know, it could work, but I don't know how
he
I feel
should
about
be
it.
A side character. He should be a sometimes
I agree.
Character.
Yeah,
well, The Mandalorian comes out next year.
I'm actually looking forward to that. They just announced what Carl Weathers, Werner Herzog is going to be in it.
Which is a weird choice.
Yeah. It's cool, though.
They should have got Nick Nolte.
Nick Nolte is in it.
Oh, fuck, that's right. He is in it.
Yes.
Yeah, I totally forgot he is in it. I forgot the
ad. It's an amazing, crazy cast, really.
Well, sausage fest at the moment, but yeah.
Well,
there's like one female cast announced. What else is coming?
That's gonna be on Disney Plus, right?
Yeah. Did you say that Nick Cage was in that Teen Titans Go?
Yeah, Superman.
Yeah. He's also in the new Spider-Man.
I so want a Nick Cage like resurgence. I want him to like have another Leaving Las Vegas moment.
Dude, like everyone's blowing up about Mandy. I haven't watched it yet, but like everyone's totally
he's
like
so cagey in that.
Mandy?
What's that other one?
It's like
Mom and Dad?
It's the cagiest performance he's ever given.
What about Mom and Dad?
And Mom and Dad, which is on Hulu.
No, but is that like, oh, we love him because he's so bad or something? I don't want that.
No,
he's
pretty good in
it. I want like brilliance from him again.
There's only like one scene where I think it kind of...
When was he...
Like Leaving Las Vegas?
Brilliant.
I think Snake Eyes was pretty great. 8mm.
Leaving Las Vegas,
which he won an Oscar for.
Yeah. Best actor, Nicolas Cage.
I never saw that movie.
Oh, it was worth it.
Nicolas Cage can be a good actor when he turns it on.
Yeah.
When he doesn't overdo it.
Right. But I mean, I think he's past that now. also on, that I looked on here, Attila Battle Angel.
Alita. That's been pushed. That was supposed to come out during the holidays.
This year.
Yeah.
But then they watched the movie and they go, oh, it's not ready yet. And then they pushed it into next year.
Maybe. I think they pushed it back but they also, you know, such a crowded
holiday thing. Yeah. And then last but not least, I figured since we all watched the trailer, we could talk about it. Hellboy 2, or the new Hellboy movie comes out next year.
I will go and see it in the theaters.
I'm definitely looking forward to seeing it, but I do agree with you on this point. The trailer wasn't really...
It's not a good trailer.
It's not a great trailer.
There's some cool scenes, but there's not a...
The shot of him coming out with the fire in his helmet, that's fucking amazing.
You know that's at the end of the movie, too.
That's fine.
They showed it in the beginning of the trailer, and they showed it at the end. Like, it's all happening at the end of the movie.
Well, maybe they do it where it happens in the beginning, and then he does like a voiceover. He says, let me tell you how I got to this point. You know?
No. They're not.
I don't want that.
That was from Spider-Man.
I don't like trailers. I don't like movie trailers in general. I just think they just make
it's like a subtle art to movie trailers.
And no one really knows that art that well, it seems.
I think Marvel has it down packed. I think they know what they're doing when they want to get you hyped for something.
Endgame was
the
trailer.
I feel like most movie trailers I see anymore, I've watched the movie.
I purposely avoided watching the trailer for The Last Jedi. I went in blind in that movie.
Yeah, and did you like it?
Oh, I loved it. I'm one of the few people that liked
it.
Too.
I thought it was great too. There are some minor problems.
There
in
were
the
technical
movie.
Problems with the movie, but as far as
I was
like
enthralled.
There were formal problems with the movie. There were problems in form with it. But as far as like what they did with Star Wars in that movie was fucking awesome.
I'm a Star Wars nerd, so I fucking loved it. But a lot of people out there, they just hated it because they wanted to jump on the hate bandwagon.
Not only
that,
they had a different movie in mind, plus what they were promised from JJ, because they're all coming in with the expectations of what JJ gave them, and they took a left on all the fans.
But all of the turns they made were the right ones.
Right. To set
story-wise,
absolutely.
I mean, because otherwise, what people are saying that they wanted is Star Wars movies that you've already had before.
Yeah, exactly. They just wanted to tread old ground, even though that's what they complained about in Force Awakens.
Right, exactly. That Force Awakens...
It's a snake eating its own tail scenario.
Right. Force Awakens was fun. Fun movie. Good Star Wars movie. People shit on it because it's the same thing over again. So they do something completely new and change the meaning of so many things in The Last Jedi, people shit on it. It's too different.
But something that big is always going to have that kind of polarizing thing.
I thought it was wonderful. I fucking loved it.
There are some inherent problems with The Last Jedi.
There are.
Like the bad jokes in the beginning, I could do without. And then
the entire pacing in the middle, where they go to
the Canto Bite.
Yeah.
I felt like we were missing a lot of that story, or it didn't need to be in the movie.
Well, I got why it was there, and it was important for the rest of the themes that are going on in that movie. It was important that we got that, but it was like they couldn't figure out how to work it into the rest of the movie.
It just kind of felt like a lukewarm part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually in a tauntaun.
But I think there is a value in not watching trailers sometimes and just knowing that, okay, this movie's on the horizon. I'm going to avoid seeing anything about it. I'm going to go in blind and just get that experience. It's completely
hard. Okay, if you go to the movies.
Ruin Hellboy for you is basically what you're saying.
If you go to the movies, you cannot avoid fucking trailers.
I know. That's hard.
Unless you show up 20 minutes late, you know.
Right, yeah. That's difficult.
Yeah.
I like movie trailers.
I do, like, the first or second time, but when it...
But I'm also one of those people, I don't get... bummed out if I find out a spoiler. I get like, oh shit, how are they going to work this into the movie? That's how I think about a spoiler. Like, I knew about Han Solo long before the movie came out, before Force Awakens. Like, I knew he was going to die. I just didn't know when or where or how.
Right, yeah.
He dies? I mean, what?
Spoiler alert, everybody.
Like, okay, shit. Like, I'll give you a good example. Someone or a friend of mine had told me about Gravity before it came out. He's like, you know, I'm going to go see this movie. It's going to be really great, I think.
Yeah.
Sandra Bullock's in it. Bullock's in it? Okay.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's about space and crazy shit happens. I'm like, all right, let's go see it. We saw it in 3D. Blew my mind. Walked out of the theater.
It's a great movie to see in theaters in IMAX 3D.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it has a lot of rewatchability.
No, I've only seen it the one time, but it was such a great experience just to walk in there and not knowing anything. Because I always base this on The Matrix. When the original Matrix came out, that day it came out, that Friday, I didn't heard of this movie yet, but two friends of mine in school were going to go see it, and they're like, come see The Matrix with us. I'm like, what's The Matrix? They're like, well, let's go see it.
Well, and I
walked in blind. I didn't even see a trailer or even a movie poster before I walked into the theater and was like, well, that looks cool. Okay, let's go.
He's like, oh, there's that shit from Bill and Ted.
Watched that movie and had my mind blown and was like convinced that this is kind of the way to see movies now.
Well, and I feel like that was maybe one of, like, the last movies where, like, because even trailers for that movie, you don't know what the fuck's going on in this movie.
Right.
Until you go see it.
Yeah.
And
yeah, because it's just a lot of weird scenes that don't have any rhyme or reason to them.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like that in the 90s. Remember, like, the Castaway trailer showed you that he got off the island in the goddamn trailer.
Did they really?
Yes.
I don't remember that.
I don't remember that at all.
I basically remember sitting in the theater watching
That's such a great movie, too.
Right. And then in the trailer, they show you... They show him being rescued. Like, they show him being pulled up or he's on the rescue boat with the beard or whatever. So you knew that was coming. Yeah. It's just like...
You know, speaking of Matrix, is coming up to the 20th anniversary.
Yep.
Really?
What's coming up?
Matrix
2019. Matrix.
Yeah.
Wow.
Are they going to do anything for it or anything?
I don't know.
Watch The Matrix?
No, I saw. Are they going to do anything for it?
They'll probably watch The Matrix.
They'll re-release it.
Well, you know, there hasn't been a digital release of that movie yet.
If there's
a Blu-ray, but there hasn't been, like, because you know how everything's going 4K with the digital code or whatever?
Right.
They haven't made a 4K digital code one yet.
They will.
So I'm saying that they might do some special edition for that.
I wouldn't mind seeing them reimagine The Matrix in, like, a prestige TV format, like 10 episodes.
They could, I mean.
Type thing.
That universe is ripe for that type of storytelling.
Yeah.
What? You want to jump back into the world of The Matrix?
Yeah, why not?
Like,
I think we're past that.
No.
I think we really are.
Well, they're redoing Dark Crystal into a series.
Yeah, so. But see, you think about it, though. Like, The Matrix is so rooted into that.
Of
like,
its time.
It is. Time I actually agree.
Like, okay. Early 2000 fears are all about that. And
right, yeah.
I don't know. I just don't think it would play it
if today. If you were going to do anything in The Matrix world now, it would have to... The nature of the conflict would be very different. I don't saying I know what that is, but I feel like it would have to be very different.
It's just a good playground. It would have to
be
like universe,
Agent
though.
Smith has to be the good guy. I don't know. I don't have the answer.
I thought Agent Smith was the good guy.
Kind of.
Yeah.
They were the yin and yang. Anyway, so back to Hellboy.
We're going back to that?
Well, I mean, it kind of put us on a tangent about trailers. It looks okay.
I'm excited to
see it. What's the guy's name? Jeffrey what?
No, David Harbour.
David Harbour. I thought it was someone else.
He was great in Newsroom.
He was great in the Tide Ads.
I forgot about the Tide Ads.
I don't remember him in Tide Ad.
Oh, you haven't seen those?
Super Bowl.
They're so good. You should just YouTube it.
You gotta watch football to see those.
I guess so.
Yeah.
It's a Tide Ad. There's like two people out there laughing at this.
Maybe.
The two people who listen to the show.
I think that he's going to do a good job. I think he's the best actor they could have chosen if they couldn't get
Ron Perlman. I agree with you. Like, if they have, if they can have Ron Perlman, right. I think he's the next
He's step a good up. Choice. Yeah.
I think my only problem is the way they constructed the makeup on his face, he can't emote anything.
Right. Yeah.
Like, all the emotions he shows are pretty.
He looks a little cat-like too. I noticed like some of the features.
Well, they're
like,
going for a more demon,
a younger,
look. Like yeah, a demon very younger.
But it was sort of weird.
Like, yeah, because Ron Perlman's Hellboy was kind of puffy. He had like a puffier kind
yeah, of it's a, like a, years it's of a drinking. 2-inch,
right. Yeah,
2-inch yeah. thick yeah. makeup over his face.
Yeah,
a lot of drinking, a lot of cigar smoking.
All right. But, I mean, it's all right. It looks cool. There's some really cool scenes. They're definitely going for a hard R rating. Like, they sliced a dude in half.
Yeah.
And
that,
a lot
the gunshot
of,
right through the guy's head. Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah, and they picked a horrible song to cut the trailer to. And they tried to make it seem like, oh, it's funny and light while people are dying. Didn't yeah. you like this in Deadpool? You're going to love this.
Mm. We want your money, money, money.
Yeah. I don't know. It could have been. I'm waiting for fans to take everything they saw in that and recut it with different music. Hopefully, there'll be a
I didn't
a
hate,
YouTube.
I didn't
recut.
Hate the music choice in the trailer at all.
It just it was a bad pacing for the trailer. It set a bad precedent for the trailer, in my opinion.
So, got a question for you, Sean.
Yep.
What time is it?
The
time for George Hates Metal.
Oh, Ghost, sure. Yeah.
Ghostbusting time.
I think it's time for George Hates Metal. Are you ready to get into it?
Yeah, sure.
Let's do it. I got the
I didn't realize
song.
We were doing this today.
You can't pick your own song. It doesn't work that way.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, sung by DMX.
No, oh, good.
That, I've heard that.
Not even DMX
it's
say
great.
That.
It's awesome. You're welcome. Everybody who hasn't heard of that, Google it. You'll find it.
Actually, don't Google that. You'll thank me later.
No, it's great if you like DMX.
To the show, George Hates Metal is the topic. The band, I'm going to say Aryan Pass, A-R-R-A-Y-A-N.
Not what I thought the first time.
It's not Aryan. The album was called Archigonoi. Came out the end of September of this year. We were supposed to play this on the last episode of MSRcast, but somebody in this room fucked up and played another song twice instead of this one. So
you got double dose of Manimal.
We got double dose of Manimal on that episode. To make up for that, we selected this band as the George Hates Metal of this episode.
I wonder
so,
why.
So I want to hear your opinion first, and we're going to talk about it.
Okay. Mine's very short. I stopped listening as soon as they started singing. So there you go.
I noticed that.
You did get up and leave
the room. I did get up and leave the room and got some water, and I was like, all right, I'm not going to like this, so I'm going to keep on walking away now. It's just not my cup of tea.
But they're Greek. They're actually from Cyprus.
Technically Greece.
Technically okay. Greece.
Yeah, I guess.
Close enough.
By a bystander.
Yeah. So you don't even have support for your people?
Sure, why not? They're Greek. Congratulations.
All right, moving on.
Exactly.
Dave, what did you think?
Meh.
Meh?
Yeah.
It's good to know I wasn't the only one. All right.
All right. Sean, what did you think?
I mean, I haven't listened to the album closely, but every time I hear him, I go, okay, I can see where their influences are. And
they definitely wear their influences on their sleeve.
We played, there was another song you played from them that was like very Therion inspired, it seems.
Yeah.
And I like that. So.
They're fans, man. Deep down, yeah. They're just fans.
Yeah.
I think the singer definitely, he sounds like this is weird, but he sounds like a cross between Zach Stevens from Sabotage and Jack Skellington.
Yeah.
He has that, yes.
Really, though? I don't know. I turned my ears off as soon as they started singing.
And
so.
I mean, especially in that one song, he sounded a lot like Thomas Vikström from Therion.
Yeah.
Their current singer. I was just like, that's where I was getting a lot of that Therionism from. Mm. That and the kind of 80s style guitar riffing that was happening.
Ice Dursey.
Not
as fast.
Yeah.
For sure. I dig these guys. They're... definitely, I guess an acquired taste, as George has alluded to.
Yeah. But
what?
You don't even pay attention now.
I gave up a while ago. Sorry, what?
So what have you been listening to that's metal then? Turn us on to something.
I recently discovered a new album. I don't know how long it's been out, but it did come out in 2018, and it's probably going to be one of my favorites of the year. It's... In the Woods?
Into the Woods?
Into the Woods. I thought it was just called In the Woods.
No, Into the Woods.
I'm pretty sure it's
no,
called
In the Woods.
I'm pretty sure it's
Into the Woods
just,
was the movie.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's called In the Woods. I really like their new album quite a bit.
I am so surprised you're saying this right now.
Why?
Because it's something I didn't think you would like.
It sounds something I would listen to.
Did we play them on the show?
We did play them. It's actually...
I found them by accident, too.
Not to spoil anything, but it might be in my top 12 of this year.
Oh, wow. It's definitely in my top 10.
Wow. It's across... They're,
George doesn't hate metal.
I know. If you like... I describe them as a cross between, like, Bortnagar and, like, Enslaved. They have that avant-garde-ness.
I need to listen to this.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Let's play an audible. Let's just change it to In the Woods. That's our George Hates Metal segment.
Okay.
No, we're not.
Oh, okay.
We could if we wanted to.
Yeah, if you
already hated metal.
You already hated. You hated the first
one. I already hated on the other one. We can't hate on this one.
No, I listened to...
but I recently discovered this
It came out in the last year, too, or in the last November. It's a later album of the year, so I know he stopped listening to albums. Don't you?
My cutoff for considerations around like this first week of December. It's just like if you're no, he's, I gotta
anything within the 2018 year should count.
I gotta get this shit finished because you get to the like the week before Christmas, no one gives a damn anymore.
Hey man, but if they're that good,
yeah, maybe.
So here's a little background on In the Wood. They're from Norway. They formed in 1991. They took a 14-year break, came back in 2014, and then they put out a couple albums since they've returned.
I tried listening to the album that came out before their newest year. Wasn't a biggest fan of that one. But, I mean, there were some good songs,
I agree
but overall was like, meh.
Cease the Day is the name of the new album.
Yes. And it has a giant deer on the album cover. That's how
Evil Deers.
That's cool-looking
it's
album.
Awesome.
I like it quite a bit.
Yeah. There was... a lot of music I listened to this year that wasn't metal at all that was really good, and I mean some of it's just odd.
Like
I love Florence and the Machine, so I love their new album. I thought it was really good.
They came out with a new album.
Yeah, it was in summer of this year, and the new Churches record. I love that band too. I have a weak spot for that kind of a weird, kind of futuristic, synthy electro pop type stuff.
I like some of that too. I might have to check that out.
Yeah, Churches is a great band. And
it's like CHV.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I've seen the name, I just haven't listened to him.
Yeah, you should. You'd like him. And then like the new Sarah Brightman album came out. I'm a fanboy for Sarah Brightman. Came out the other month, and it's like this really kind of throwback classical record, grand, operatic. And Lorena McKennitt released a new album this year, and she doesn't release a lot of albums ever. So, and that was great to hear her, really enjoyed it. Just more of what she does really well, kind of this rustic Celtic folk type stuff. So there was a lot of good music that came out that didn't happen to be metal. They unfortunately just don't really have an outlet to talk about most of the time. So, yeah.
So a little back to In the Woods real quick. formed in late 1991 by members of the original lineup of Greencarnation, whom they are a continuation of.
I've never heard of Reincarnation.
Greencarnation.
Because they are
green.
Reincarnated.
No, not Reincarnation. Greencarnation.
Greencarnation.
You never heard of them?
No.
Oh, wow. I think you would actually dig them a lot.
Okay. Huh.
Wow. All right.
How many records they do?
Who?
Greencarnation.
Let's see.
Hear me drink in the microphone.
Five full-lengths? Full-length albums, yeah.
I also listened to the new In Flames song.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's really bad. They're coming. The town.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
No. Whenever we do, like, the next, like, posts, whenever that album comes out, that In Flames album,
mm-hmm.
we need to actually talk about that.
No.
I'm not saying, like, for good.
Okay.
But we need to actually, like, evil. Just take them to task. Because I heard that song the other day. I don't think – few things disappoint me on a level where I'm just, like, really saddened by it.
Because it's lazy?
I can go on a tangent about just how awful that was and how embarrassing it is to
kinda
the,
like they
to the
listen,
legacy
it's
of
It's
kind of
like
band.
They listened to a 30-second The Mars album. It's like, yeah, we can do that.
They've been going there for a while, though,
but,
I think.
You know, but they've been going in that direction, but they haven't fully jumped into some kind of steaming pile of shit like that was. To me,
something about their house or something like that.
I can't.
Our house or something like that.
Let's briefly just.
We've already started talking about it.
Okay. I have a real problem when I hear something like that coming out from those two only remaining members of that classic era lineup, Anders and Bjorn, and them throwing and ruining the and putting dragging through the mud the legacy of those that band's first 5.5 records. I don't think that's the same band anymore at all, even in spirit. And I have a problem now when I refer to someone and say, oh, yeah, like, you know, a great record like In Flames, Horacle. They'll be like, In Flames? That's your like idea of a great band? And I'm like, classic In Flames. And I have to now say classic In Flames to distinguish between that
certain era
and this
In Flames.
Bullshit garbage they're trying to pass off as music now. Because that was the most embarrassing fucking song I've ever heard in my life by any band that I've ever headbanged to at a concert. Fuck them. Fuck Anders and fuck Bjorn. Those guys have ruined that band.
Let me hear what
how long have I been doing the MSR cast? I've never called a band a sellout.
No.
In Flames are fucking sellouts. Fuck them.
Let me hear
that. I fucking hate that band.
How do you really
feel? I've never
seen
Sean get this animated
before. Yeah, I was like,
before.
You were very passionate about this.
I can't express to you how angry I was when
Sean's inflamed right now.
Like, dude, you're like usually even keeled. I've never seen you this like upset.
Because
he used to love In Flames so much.
Oh, I get it. I used to like In Flames too.
I don't call bands sellouts.
Like, I don't either.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever. I don't even think that thing. I don't even think a thing like, okay, a band selling out today. Bands have to do what they have to do to survive.
And to make money.
Right. But that is selling out. Like, I know it when I see
have
it.
Have you heard
of
Dave?
Is selling
I haven't
out.
Heard it. No.
Oh, it's terrible.
We're not making you listen
we
to
were,
it.
We were in the middle of a live, like a chat while George was listening to it. He was like, oh God, this is terrible.
It's horrible. Because it came up on my rotation on my Spotify while I was at work, and we just so happened to be talking at the time, and it was...
My wife saw that In Flames was coming, and so she's like, oh, hey, In Flames is coming. I'm like, have you listened to In Flames in the last, say, 10 years? And she goes,
save your money.
No, why? I'm like,
save
like,
your money.
Does anybody like this music? I can't, I mean, maybe like high school kids. I can see this.
But not even, it's not even, it's not like they're trying to hit a genre of music that hasn't been popular in 10 years still.
Yeah, it feels
you know,
feels very
it's
dated.
Like they're behind the curve.
No, no,
on
you're
it.
100% right. It feels like dated.
This is our house. Yeah, that's the name of the damn song.
It feels like dated, like screamo rock.
Yeah.
From like 2003.
And not very good screamo rock to begin with, you know?
Or like maybe 2013 to be generous. But it feels like it's
still,
out of that
it's still
era.
Still behind, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It feels like out of that era.
Because popular, you know, metal, if you want to call stuff metal, has moved on from that style.
What does mall metal sound like now? Does it not sound like that? I just imagine this,
mall metal sounds like
what In Flames
like,
sound like now.
Like Bad Wolves and stuff is like modern mall metal that's popular.
What's that
and
other
stuff.
Band that every time I like look up on
every time I die
new bands or whatever, everyone like screams, "Oh, you got to listen to Beartooth."
Oh, right, Beartooth.
God, they're terrible.
Yeah,
they're terrible.
I've never even heard of them.
They're awful. Before.
Yeah. But they're like the most popular metal band right now.
Yeah, I mean they're all point of entry.
Ghost is the most popular metal band right now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but some people don't even consider them metal though.
Right.
I still do, but they're not. Yeah,
they don't have that hard teeth edge, I guess.
It doesn't matter.
The only saving grace for me with the whole In Flames thing is like knowing that what Jesper Strömblad, former In Flames guitarist, how he feels about what they're doing. It's like it makes me feel like
vindicated.
Well, you know, Jesper was the one who wrote those classic records and those riffs and those melodies and stuff, and he thinks this is all shit too. So at least it's there's sort of like this. We can say that when he lost control of that band after Clayman, the band changed and it became Anders Frieden's band.
Yeah.
And it became a different thing and they probably should have changed the name. Mm-hmm. Or, but that was such, you know, obviously you can't go back in time and do that.
Anders is the only original member still, right?
Anders and Bjorn.
Are they still in the band?
But, you know, Jesper predated both of those guys. So.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
What's he doing now?
He
was in that one band.
Kyra. He's still with them, yeah.
Kyra?
It's like another project he does. Yeah,
not good.
I like it.
He likes it, but I can't say that I do.
I like it. Now, would I love him, Jesper, to write another Melodeth record? Yes, I would. I would beg him to do that because the world needs that right now. But you know,
it does.
Original
member of Hammerfall.
I would never look at what In Flames has done post year 2000 and blame anything on him because he just kind of. Went along with the flow of like, hey, I guess we're getting bigger and we should listen to these, like to our vocalist and these other ideas he has. And
that's right. He wasn't
I think that's about the time I discovered In Flames was around 2000.
That first album, that guitar riffing was exactly
the
like
first,
In Flames.
The first two albums and many of the songs in the third on Renegade, he wrote.
Yeah.
And that guitar, and he didn't record on the album, but that guitar density and that riffing, that's right. All Jesper right there.
So the moral of this segment is George
is always right.
That's not what I was going to say, but in this case, he might be right because In the Woods is one of my top albums of the year.
That's right.
And that new In Flames song is shit.
It is. You're right. I'm 100% right, 100% of the time.
All right, so let's not let him dwell on it too long. Let's move on.
All right, so it's that time of the week where we talk about what's tickling our little geeks. Carrie?
Me first?
Yeah, why not?
Firsties. Going to a concert tomorrow night.
Hey.
Going to a meet and greet as well.
Wow.
During lunch.
Cool.
Stephen Wilson.
All at once? All the same show?
Well, he's doing a meet and greet at Cactus during lunchtime, and then he's playing a show at House of Blues that night.
Nice.
I've never seen Stephen Wilson live, and I'm looking forward to it.
I don't know who Stephen Wilson is.
Stephen Wilson is an artist I think you would actually really fucking enjoy.
Fucking enjoy. Not just enjoy, but
no, fucking, like fucking enjoy.
Prog rock and stuff.
All right.
But very melodic. And
yeah. If you like pop rock, pop, it's not really metal, but he's very poppy, very Beatles-esque, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Really good stuff.
Cool.
You ever heard Porcupine Tree?
Sounds vaguely familiar.
It was a band he was in before.
I probably came across them through either YouTube or Spotify.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't do any Porcupine Tree stuff live, though, does he?
No. For this set list, he does like six Porcupine Tree songs. That's why it's like a really unique tour.
I didn't know that. I haven't even looked at the set list yet.
It changes. He does like different things like every show, I think, like a rotating thing. But he is doing like about five to six Porcupine Tree songs.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. It's going to be like more of an overview of his solo career and Porcupine Tree stuff. So
that's cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
Dave, what about you? What's tickling your geek this week?
I'm like still working on getting back to reality. I'm still recovering from a lot of things.
As he rubs his eyes.
God, dude, I've been so tired. I actually started playing Fallout 76 a few days ago. Sort of at the request of my wife, because she's been playing it since it launched. she's a huge Fallout fan, and so I got into it with her. And I'm not, like, real far in. I have, a level 7 character and a level like three or four characters, something like that.
Justin's also a huge Fallout.
Yeah. I like them a lot. I would call myself a Fallout fan, but she knows way more of the lore and the history and all that stuff than I do.
I just know it's like a alternate 1950s, right?
It's a future.
Yeah.
Where
the bomb went off or some shit.
It's the future. Everything looks 1950s because that post-war era, that post-World War II era, was so good, and the nuclear power proliferated in positive ways that, I mean, of course you had the threat of nuclear annihilation, but they found practical, useful, positive applications for a lot of this technology, and so that idyllic 1950s never went away, until
the bombs
dropped.
Nice.
And, yeah, and so...
And 1976 is supposed to be, like, the prequel to everything, right?
This is... So what happens in the... If you don't know anything about Fallout, what happened is, like I said, you have this idyllic post-war era that goes on... Actually, it's a couple of centuries. It's a really long time. And then resources actually do start to run out. Things happen. Nuclear war occurs. Well, everyone kind of saw this coming, and so Vault-Tec... This mega corporation works with the government, and they've built nuclear fallout vaults all over the country. And certain people have been selected to go into the vaults. Most of the fallout, like the fallout games up to this point, people are coming out of their vaults and they've been locked into them for generations. We're talking like people have been in the vaults for hundreds of years and then are beginning to come out. This one is different in that you are the first vault to open, and it's 25 years after the bombs dropped. So you are the first people to come out into this nuclear wasteland.
Is that where the 76 come from? Because is it actually in 1976?
It's not 1976. It's
Vault 76, right?
It's actually the tricentennial.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's another 100 years.
Oh, okay. I got you.
But yeah, that's the premise of it. You're one of the first people to walk back out into the world after it's been destroyed by nuclear war.
Multiplayer only game, right?
So it's all online. You can play it by yourself. Mm-hmm. Part of the thing of it is, I'll just get this out of the way. It's been plagued by bad reviews and technical problems. I haven't had any technical problems beyond anything I've ever experienced in any other multiplayer game. Nothing game breaking for me. Now, Valve's had some weird shit happen.
Yeah.
But
they're working on updating all that.
They're
stuff
updating
too, right?
It constantly. Okay. Like, they're updating it several times a week. And, like, listening to their press information leading up to it coming out.
I remember all that.
They weren't apologetic, I'd say, but they were very upfront about, no one's ever done this before. You're going on this experiment with us. Come along and we're going to make this thing work.
Right.
Yes, it's kind of broken out of the box. Okay. But they are actively, very actively working on fixing things. Cool. And it's fun. I like it. It's enjoyable.
It's on sale right now for like $30, and I'm debating whether to get it for a present for somebody. Don't know if they're going to really enjoy it that much is my problem.
I was really...
Does she not like the other games?
I don't think she's ever really played them. But she's interested in playing this. He showed it to us for a little bit, and it looked cool.
I'm not sure if it's a great introduction to the Fallout world.
Mm,
okay. I feel like there's other games that would be a better introduction.
Cheaper right now.
And, yeah, that too. But
isn't like Fallout 2 or like New Vegas or whatever is supposed to be like the best entry point?
Probably Fallout 3.
We have Fallout 3, and I think we have New Vegas on the 360. Right? Wasn't it 360?
It's backwards compatible on the isn't it?
Right?
So play it on there.
But
there you go, your entry point.
One of the things when they were first talking about this game, though, that I was really concerned about was those style games, the Fallout games, the Elder Scrolls games, these are not multiplayer games. I feel like Elder Scrolls Online ruins what Elder Scrolls is about, which is that, like, I am the hero. Right. I am in the world making these things happen.
Yeah.
When you turn that into an MMO, you lose a lot of that. So this is actually – and so I was worried about this for Fallout, but they've actually kind of split it down the middle because it's all online and it's all multiplayer, but the world is enormous and there's only like 24 people to a server at any time. Like, okay. That's like the max, is it's like two dozen people. So there's a huge world and there's other players out there fucking somewhere, but you're probably not going to see them.
Wait. So how many servers are they running for this?
A lot.
But what are you fighting in the game?
Mutated animals, monsters, feral ghouls, if you know them from the previous games. Because so this is one of the weird things that I'm not quite sure how they're dealing with lore-wise yet, but there were people who didn't go into the vaults who survived the nuclear war. But there are no human NPCs in this game. All of the NPCs that you encounter are robots who have been living out in the world. It kind of works. It makes sense. But I'm like, no people? None at all? You know, so basically, if you see a human being,
it's another player.
Wow. I wonder if you can fight the other player.
You can.
Wow.
Yeah. I haven't done it yet. Like, you don't get PvP access until you're level 5. I have a level 7 character now. But like I said, you don't often run into people, and it's really more built to encourage collaborative play.
Right. Not fighting.
Than fighting each other. Actually, this was one of the things that helped sell it for me, because this was one thing I was really worried about. Griefers, people who just come onto multiplayer games to fuck people up and they think that's fun.
Yeah.
I'm not dealing with that shit. I was like, if they're going to have a griefing problem, I don't want anything to do with this game. So one of the things that they did is PvP has to be agreed upon by both parties.
Hmm. Yeah.
Somebody can come kill you, but until you activate PvP, you have ridiculous damage reduction. Like, they have to really work at it to kill you. If they succeed,
they're just a dick.
If they succeed, they're now flagged as wanted on the server, and everybody else on the server can see where they are, and they get bonus points for hunting them down and killing them.
Nice. Okay.
I'm like, okay, I dig it.
That's a good way to solve that problem.
Yeah.
If you're going to be a dick, you're going to get, this is what's going to happen to you.
Yep. Get John Wicked.
That's right.
So anyway, I haven't played a lot of it. I've enjoyed what I've played so far, and I see a lot of potential for this, and I'm a huge fan of the work that Bethesda does and the games that they put out. And I feel at this point more than happy to go along with this experiment for them. I think they've made good on their side of it so far, and they're fixing the stuff that's not working.
You're playing it on PS4?
Yeah.
Okay. Cause if we got it, we would probably get the Xbox One version. I don't think there's not crossplay.
No, Todd Howard has been very upfront that Sony will not cooperate with them for cross-platform play. So he's put it all at Sony's feet. This is a Sony thing. We want to do it. Sony won't.
There was some game that was cross-play on Sony systems. I can't think of what it was recently.
I don't know either.
It was one of those multiplayer games. I can't remember exactly what it is. All right, well,
what Sean, about you, Sean? Yeah. What's tickling your geek this week?
I mean, I'm going to be at that Stephen Wilson show tomorrow. That's going to be great.
Already did that. You can't steal mine.
I don't know.
Something else that you're excited about this week or next week or the coming months
or the coming decade.
The True Detective thing is coming up. I'm really pumped up about that.
In January, right?
Yeah, that's like early January. So it'll be nice to have a TV show to watch. Because all I've been watching, like I was mentioning to you guys earlier, was like stuff like old stuff like The Wire and Sopranos and stuff like that. So.
You know, I've never seen Sopranos all the way through.
I haven't.
Either. I don't think I'm going to finish it.
I get bogged out like between, like always in the second season. I'm like, whatever. Yeah. It's like the longest episode of, or like the longest mob movie you'll ever watch.
Yeah. I mean, apart from that, just reveling in having my list done. and listening to other stuff, mostly a lot of non-metal stuff recently.
And non-metal stuff.
And we're preparing. So one of the things I'm looking forward to, as we're talking about this, we're preparing for MSRcast, our top Rewind, our albums of the year. You've already put your list out at themetalpigeon.com. But I know.
Because he's timely.
No, we always do it after the
year. Yeah, all right. His episodes always go into January.
Yep. So also, I'm also looking. I started working on my games and then movies and TV of what's really grabbed my attention this past year.
Right.
So next episode, looking forward to that. We'll start getting into all that stuff.
We're all going to argue with each other for the next hour. Is what's going to happen next
pretty
episode.
Much. No, I think we're all going to just argue with you. Is pretty much what it's
because I'm always right. Is what y'all keep forgetting.
No, that's not true.
It is
true. You're actually wrong about that now.
I'm never wrong. We agreed upon this.
No, we did not agree upon it.
So what I've been excited about this Saturday, recently it was my girlfriend's and I's 3-year anniversary, so I bought
3 years
her.
Already?
Yeah.
Wow.
Can you believe it? Yeah, I can't
believe she put up with your ass.
I was about to say something along those same lines.
I know, right? Having to deal with me being right all the time.
Good for her.
I know, right? She's a saint. Anyway, it was our 3-year anniversary, so I bought her tickets to a show. She's a very large Harry Potter fan, huge.
You don't
fan.
Say.
Yeah. Well,
she has a Harry Potter.
She has
tattoo.
A Harry Potter tattoo. So, so there's a show in Houston called Potted Potter.
Mm.
We were supposed to see it when we were in Dallas for the Harry Potter convention thing. That was okay. But like we were kind of burned out on the con, so we didn't go to that show. They're here in Houston, so we're going to that on Saturday. I'm kind of excited because I have no idea what to expect.
Cool.
Yeah. It's a comedy show that condenses all 7 books into 2 hours.
Where is this nice. At?
I think it's at the Hobby Center.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's a bigger place.
Yeah, it's a big show. They had to extend the show because of how many tickets were being sold or whatever. So
interesting.
So it should be good. Hopefully it's good. I'm excited for it. What else? More music. I'm excited to see your top 10 list so I can find what I don't like.
Just troll level 9,000.
besides that,
you might be in the woods on that one, boy.
Oh, I don't know. There's some things we can come to common ground with. It's just you know, I have higher.
Can't help it that I have good taste in you.
I have elevated taste than you. That's all it really. What it
no,
comes
I have
down
good
to.
Taste. You have whatever the hell you listen to.
We're in a pissing contest at this point.
so you know so what that means. You it. Get to do. You get to do our sponsor.
I don't want to do anybody.
Well, you get to. That's because you've been together for 3 years.
So tantrumcollectibles.com, I believe, is still our sponsor.
That is correct.
They haven't dropped us yet from my great advertisement that I give them all the time. So if you want, it might be a little too late to get collectibles for the holidays, but with all that sweet cash and gift stuff you'll get from Christmas, go spend it at tantrumcollectibles.com where you can get all your Bandai and Japanese statue wants and needs and Funko Pops.
The owner actually just told me this week that they're going to be bumping up what kind of Funko Pops they have.
Oh, yeah? Like just even more exclusives?
Even more exclusive
exclusives
and all that
exclusives on the exclusivity.
That's right.
I don't even think that's a word.
We got exclusiveness on that.
It's tantric word.
Exclusivity.
Exclusivity. Anyway, tantricollectibles.com. Save some money while you're shopping. For yourself, treat yourself, as they say. Go to Metal Geeks at the checkout and save 10%.
That's right. Thank you. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I was waiting for that. I think that's going to wrap it up. Anybody else have anything they wanted to finish up with? Anything they wanted to say?
I'm excited for Game of Thrones. I'm gonna do a Game of Thrones rewatch. I think is what I'm gonna do.
I was thinking about doing that myself.
I'm gonna start from episode one.
But see, I don't know. I just
roll all the way
into
April.
Some stuff in that first season that kind of drags, and I'm just like,
first season
I might have to do
a
skip around rewatch.
No.
My favorite bits and bobs.
You got to take the good, the bad with the good, and the good with the bad.
Yeah.
There are some bad seasons in Game of Thrones, but I mean, well, not bad because I don't think the show's ever bad,
right?
But there's some meh seasons, but overall, the show's fucking fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And
Last season coming up.
I think the first season, the reason why it drags is because they didn't know what kind of budget they were going to have for season two. And they had to know how much to stretch out.
Yeah, more palace intrigue type stuff. Yeah.
It took me a while to get into that show. I think we've talked about this before. Like, my wife watched it first. And then she's like, you would really like this show. Let's try to watch it. So
the Bean is in it, man.
Yeah. Well, for a while.
Yeah, he's in it.
And a buddy of ours let us borrow the Blu-ray. So, okay, fine. We'll sit down and watch it. And the thing, I think I figured out the reason why it was so hard for me to get into is that first season, you're introduced to so many characters. Yeah, you don't know definitely. What's going on. And it takes a while to start really getting into it. And then after you get into it, it's great. But yeah,
I know everyone, like some people say that like the last season was rushed and everything. I had so much fun watching that last season.
That was great. Yeah. I had a great time. Now if the dude can just finish the book so we can get all the nitty-gritty details.
Never will happen.
It's never going to happen. He's just going to hold that over everybody.
He's a superstar now.
Have you watched his new show on the Sci-Fi Network?
No.
What's it called?
George R. R. Martin?
Yeah, he has a new science fiction show.
Really?
Yeah, I can't remember what the fuck the name of it
can't
is
get
right
a
now.
Book on Fifi?
Yeah. God damn it.
I don't know.
I was have it on the tip of my brain somewhere, and
I can't not hear his name and not think about that South Park episode.
Sorry. No, not that one.
What?
Nothing. Never mind.
Where they take the song, the theme song Wiener? For Game of Thrones, Wieners.
Yeah, I do that every episode. I know. When that comes on. It's great.
Fuck you, South Park.
Do you see the clip of George R. Martin talking to Stephen King on stage about like writing?
He's like, how the fuck do you write it? You know how Stephen King does it?
Stephen King's like, yeah, I just write every day.
It's called cocaine. How he does it.
It's called actually working.
Yeah.
Just hey, like, man, he's working too, just in a different capacity.
He's working on something. But it's not what people want. Didn't he just put a new book out? It's like the history type of thing. It's like
some sort of
prequel
weird,
or something.
Yeah,
something like that.
Something that no one gives a shit about.
You do that after you get your
right.
main series done,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Tolkien did that, right?
Right.
All right.
Night Flyers. That's what it's fucking called.
I haven't heard
of it. It's on Sci-Fi Channel.
On now?
Yes, now. There are 10 episodes in.
Whoa.
I think they're 10 episodes in.
But he has
based
finished.
On his book.
Writing that book series.
Well, he's just a producer on it, I think.
Fair.
So it's based on an older book that he wrote.
All right. Well, on that note.
That does it for us, I guess. Happy Christmas.
Happy holidays. Happy Merry holidays. Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Hanukkah.
All those New Year's.
Happy Lamaka.
I thought Hanukkah was
happy
over.
Festivus. For the rest of
for
us.
For the rest of I was going to say.
Yeah.
Yep. I think that's it.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
God, we're not going to do another episode until after the New Year. We'll come back with our rewinds. Give us some time to figure that stuff out.
I'm ready to do it now.
I know you're ready. You're ready to go today. You're like, I know my shit.
Yeah. I was just going to look at a list and say, liked it, hate it, liked it, hate it.
Some people prepare for shit in life. I'm sorry.
That's not the way to do it. As always, everybody.
Nope. We're not there yet.
Oh, we're not there yet.
We have to give our social medias out.
I'll shut the fuck up then.
So, first of all, thanks for tuning in to this episode. You can find us at metalgeeks.net. You can find us on iTunes. Subscribe to us there. Give us a review. You can find us on Spotify now, on Stitcher. You can find us, of course, on... If you have any request or an idea or anything you want to hear us talk about on the show, msrcast@gmail.com. Of course, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff.
Or and let me find the ways to explain to you why you're wrong.
What's that?
Nothing.
What'd you say?
I didn't say anything.
I heard you say something.
Well, I didn't say anything.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Of course, you can also find us on one of our affiliates at esopodcast.com.
ESO?
That's right. Now let's let Sean, our special guest, go first.
I'm at the Metal Pigeon, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. www.themetalpigeon.com.
And
how long have you been running that site?
It's 2011.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's a superstar out there.
He is. In the metal world, he is.
That's right.
Dave?
You can find me at Red Viking Dave on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and at Thorn and Moon Magical Market on January 4th.
Whoop, whoop. You can find me at all of the social medias, George Tripsis, and more importantly, you can find my comic, Speak No Evil, at Grey Bear Comics, that's G-R-A-Y. Also, I do another podcast with my co-writer, Justin Corbett, called the Mind Fudge Comedy Podcast. Check it out. We just basically shoot the shit and make jokes for an hour.
All right. So that does lead us to the end. What do we have to say now?
Sean should do it.
Sean should do it. That's right.
Well, I only know keep it metal.
Oh, I see how it is. You're only keeping it one side of it. I see how it is. I see where you're coming from.
Sharing.
Always. And always keep it geeky.
Excelsior.
Excels to the fucking ore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spider-Man, go see it again. See it 100 times. It's great.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.
I'm Drew Leiter.
And I'm Cletus Jacobs.
And we're inviting you to check out our podcast, The Earth Station DCU. We talk all things DC Comics, television, movies, and news.
We'll give you weekly comic recommendations and keep you informed on what's going on with DC TV and movies.
We are part of the ESO Network. You can catch a new episode weekly on iTunes, Google Music, Stitcher, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek. Classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.